August 19th, 2014. Another edition of the Growth Report podcast, episode 44 of the podcast that tells it like it is. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerwick.net, and I'm along with my tag team partner, Frank D. And as usual, a number of different topics to discuss, but first I want to give a quick thanks to Frank D., my co-host here, along with Atlee Green of the Body Slam podcast, the Wrestling Jackal, a great contributor, kind of our social ambassador on Twitter. And also want to thank Andrew Davis, the contributor and reporter at Gerwick.net. He does the daily Today in Wrestling History. I want to thank them for coming up on Sunday night to review the SummerSlam pay-per-view, which I'm going to discuss a little bit to open up the show. Let's quickly say what's up to Frank D.
Steve, it's great to have you back up here on the podcast, man. And I tell you what, you know, it was a pleasure coming up here the other night with Atlee, Daniel, and Andrew. And by the way, Andrew is expecting that $9.99 payment for
doing
the podcast every night. So you might want to get him about that, or you know, at least give him a free subscription to Gerwick.net. Oh, you know what? We don't charge, so I don't know.
That's right. Yeah, if you didn't get a chance to check out the podcast, we posted it on Monday, the complete review breakdown of the SummerSlam pay-per-view. And I just want to follow up a little bit because I didn't give my two cents. Just real quickly, and you guys did a great job going great detail match by match of what happened on the pay-per-view. I just want to say up front here, I did have the same issues you guys were experiencing in terms of the streaming. I was trying to watch the first hour, I was trying to watch the pay-per-view via the WWE app, and I was having a lot of issues streaming the pay-per-view. I got a couple times where the picture would freeze, and you basically had to log back out and log back in. One time the picture froze, but I could still hear the audio playing, so I had a frozen picture with the audio playing in the background. So the first hour I had all kinds of issues. Now, I will say I was actually gone. I snuck away over the weekend, and that's why I wasn't here on Monday to do your SummerSlam recap, or actually Sunday night. The Wi-Fi that I had in my hotel room was not the best, so it could be related to the Wi-Fi, but I know that a lot of people were having trouble streaming the pay-per-view live Sunday night. The second hour I did see, and I did see the main event, so I got a good flavor of the show, and I agree with you guys' assessment. It was a really good show. I was really happy to see Brock Lesnar go over, get the championship as he deserves. Happy to see Dolph Ziggler win the IC strap. But on the flip side, Frank, a couple things that I didn't like, of course, was the streaming issues. And number two, where were the Usos? Because we've talked about the last couple of pay-per-views that they had probably the best matches on the last two pay-per-views. And we had to sit through another Divas match along with the Stephanie Brie Bella match. Where were the Usos on this mat, on this pay-per-view? You would think at the very least they could find a spot for the Usos, but I watched the pay-per-view, Frank, and I didn't see any penny belts being defended on the show.
Yeah, I don't know where the Usos were. I don't know where the Nation were at. You know, there's been no mention of Xavier Woods, Big E, or Kofi Kingston as a faction. As a matter of fact, on related note, Steve, on Twitter the other day, somebody asked Xavier Woods, when is the New Nation going to debut? Xavier Woods said, not a part of it. He says, If I was a part of a faction, I would use intelligence instead of racism. It's 2014 is what he said. So
interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, that's this out of his own words. They're not the Nation, whatever they are. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are. I don't even know where they are. But, you know, I thought they were leading up to something with them going ahead to SummerSlam. It didn't happen. And instead, we got two Divas matches. And I have to say, the Paige, AJ Lee is something they could have did on the kickoff show, personally. Uso should have been on there defending those titles against Goldust and Stardust, or, you know, against Harper and Rowan or something again, or They could have been on there. Usos have built themselves up in the past year to where they could have been on the main show. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you would think, as I said, they basically had the best two matches on the pay-per-views, the last two shows. And you would think that the number two show of the year, SummerSlam, you would have a tag title match And that's probably why they should have switched the titles to the Wyatt family. The last show, then you could have the rubber match. Can you imagine if this pay-per-view would have had the Usos versus the Wyatt family one more time? How good of a show it would have. I mean, it was a good show, don't get me wrong. But suddenly you add that tag match on this show, this would have been probably one of the best SummerSlams in years.
Yeah, totally agree.
So, but it, overall, it's a good show. It was good seeing something that we talked about on the last podcast, I believe, that they kind of dropped the ball with Brock Lesnar. They bring him in from the UFC. He returns to WWE, and then he loses to the five-knuckle shuffle in 2012. But then they put Lesnar over The Undertaker this year to end the streak. And, Frank, had they not – if John Cena would have won, that would have just totally killed Brock Lesnar. And I think this is vengeance for him losing to Cena in 2012. Makes sense now that he ends the streak, and then he goes on to SummerSlam, wins the championship, and it's going to be interesting to see where they go. I know people are complaining, like on my sites and social media, that they gave the title to a part-time wrestler. But, Frank, I really can't think of anybody else the WWE has that's a more deserving champion than Brock Lesnar.
Well, who exactly? Who are you going to give it to? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the way that Brock Lesnar is being booked currently as just this unstoppable force, the beast incarnate, just this guy you just don't want to mess with. I think that this pretty much overshadows his previous run in the company when he first started out years ago. I mean, this guy is just this unstoppable wrecking machine right now that you can't put him down. And there is nobody else that could hold that championship that would be legitimate. So the thing about it is that Brock is a former, and I said this in the last podcast, Brock is a former UFC heavyweight champion, a legit shoot fighter. Okay, to have him go out there and lose in a worked match against a fake wrestler like John Cena, it's not going to be, it would make no sense to me. So I'm very happy with the outcome of Lesnar beating Cena and being the WWE champion. And he's going to be the WWE champion that nobody can beat. And I see him definitely holding that belt until WrestleMania.
And then who does he wrestle at WrestleMania, I wonder?
I mean, at that time, they could you know, focus on building up Roman Reigns, or they could go ahead and go with Plan B, and that was The Rock.
That's right, Brock versus The Rock, that's right.
Yep.
Now, I know people were critical of the decision because Brock Lesnar doesn't work house shows. The question will be, will he defend the title at the Night of Champions? The next pay-per-view will be on the pay-per-view after that, Survivor Series coming up. But to me, Frank, they gave the title to the most credible guy they have to hold that championship. And quite frankly, who cares if he's going to defend the title at house shows or not? They have enough probably to put something on a house show. I don't think they necessarily need the championship defended at a house show, although personally, if I'm paying $44 or $50 to a house show, I would like to see the WWE Championship defended. So I think that's one of the criticisms that people have is, you know, if I'm going to pay that much money for a house show, and I know we're cheapskates. You know, Triple H told us we're all cheapskates, but if fans plunk down the $50 for a house show, you know, should they see the WWE Championship defended, or will fans be happy that Brock Lesnar is the champion and they'll settle for another main event at a house show?
See, I'm kind of conflicted on that. I do believe that the WWE Championship needs to be defended, but I don't necessarily think it needs to be defended on house shows. I think that you save the championship for more important places like the pay-per-views. That's just how I feel about it. You can have secondary championships like the IC, US, the tag championships. You can have those defended at house shows, but you never defend a WWE championship at a house show.
Well, here's another thought. If Brock Lesnar enters WrestleMania next year as the heavyweight champion, do you see Lesnar defending the championships on the next, five or six pay-per-views between now and WrestleMania? Do you think he'll headline all those shows?
I don't think so. No, I honestly don't think so.
So the question would be, what do they come up with to headline some of those shows?
He definitely will defend probably at Night of Champions. Okay? But as far as, you know, Hell in a Cell, I don't know how they think about what they think about Survivor Series now. I mean, you can have a tag match that can main event Survivor Series. and TLC, you'll probably see Brock come back for that. You'll probably see Brock work the Rumble. You'll probably not see him at Elimination Chamber, although I think him being at Elimination Chamber would be a big deal. And then you hit him at WrestleMania. So some of these shows, he doesn't even have work.
Which is probably what his contract says. He's not going to be working all these pay-per-views, as I said, not working on the house shows. So, you know what's nice about it? I know I understand the criticism that he's a part-time wrestler, but when you don't see Brock on every Raw, he's something special. And that's the problem with The Rock back in the day, how he got stale, Steve Austin got stale, John Cena's very stale, Randy Orton's very stale, because they're on television every single week. A lot of times they're on Raw and SmackDown. Brock was going to disappear from time to time, and we're not going to see him. So we're going to be wondering, is Brock going to be on Raw tonight? Is the WWE champion going to be on Raw? I guess that's something different, and I think it keeps that character a little bit fresh, that he's not on weekly episodic television, as Michael Cole would say, and that his character can stay a little bit fresh.
Right. He's an attraction.
Right. Exactly. Something you don't have a lot in wrestling anymore is an attraction.
Right. And I don't think... The Big Slow is, the world's largest athlete. Please, get out of here. It's about the world's fattest athlete.
So let's talk about right here. Brock did debut the new WWE Championship belt last night on Raw. Basically, the old WWE Championship plus Big Gold has been retired. So we have an official WWE title belt. And along with that, Vince McMahon officially brought out the new WWE logo, although frankly, I don't see a lot of change in it. I don't know there's nothing special to me about it. It looks a lot like the previous Scratch logos. But he, of course, at the headquarters, brought out the $9.99 flag. You got a new logo, got a new championship belt. Does it really mean anything, Frank, in the big picture?
No, because it's a new logo, same crappy product.
Can't polish a turd.
Can't polish a turd. How I feel about it. I can tell a difference with the logo. It's a lot smoother than the Scratch logo. I'll give them that. But like I said, man, it's the same crap. Doesn't matter if you have a new logo or not. It's the same thing.
And I'm not real impressed with that new gold belt they have.
No, you're talking about the laziest design I have ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it took them 5 seconds to come up with that.
Right. It looks like the other belt. Minus the new logo and the fact that it doesn't say champion on the front of it.
Right. If you missed SummerSlam or if you want to get our 2 cents on SummerSlam, go check out the podcast that Frank D did with Atlee Green of the Body Slam podcast, the Wrestling Jackal, I should say, and Andrew Davis, currently on the front page and will be in the archive section as well as on TuneIn, iTunes, Spreaker, and Stitcher, so definitely check out the podcast. But Frank, we want to talk a little bit about what was happening in Ferguson, Missouri right now. There was a shooting, of course, that led to all kinds of protests. Militarized police force, full effect, going after protesters, a lot of arrests, a lot of people are being sprayed, shot with rubber bullets. We've got the autopsy report. It looks like a man was killed in cold blood by the police there in Ferguson, shot 6 times, somebody trying to surrender, but in this case, he was basically killed in cold blood. You got MVP there, which I got to give a lot of credit to MVP from TNA. We've been critical of him, some of the things he said on his Twitter, but when the Constitution is going down the toilet, it was good to see MVP, somebody in the wrestling community, stand up for what's going on in Ferguson. And Frank, it's a scary situation going on there. This could escalate. It could go to different cities. We could see a repeat performance of this. It's a lot of tension right now in the United States.
Yeah, exactly. And from what I've seen, this cop did murder this guy in cold blood. And until the town of Ferguson starts to, get ready to charge this officer with murder, you're going to continuously have these issues going on there until this gets resolved. And it's just pretty much outright blatant, excessive force and the use of deadly force that didn't even constitute it. It's like this guy was unarmed, and yet the cop, from what I understand from witnesses that were there, he stood over this young man and then continued to shoot him. After he was already down, he shot him again. Shot him in the head. And that was the one with the headshot. So it's kind of like, you know, how do you justify that? How do you justify shooting somebody in the damn head? You have to be really close up on him to do that.
Yeah, you know what they're going to say? He was messed up on drugs, he was high or whatever. But when you shoot somebody six times, you are the judge, jury, and executioner. This guy had no due process.
Sure.
You took it upon yourself to end this guy's life, not give him a trial. And that's the sad thing here. This is going to be, I mean, we're reading more and more documents that the police and the U.S. military are gearing up for riots.
Yeah.
And here is the first real big riot. And this could spread, Frank. This could go to town to town. And we're seeing the police force more active. We're seeing them arrest journalists. They've been shooting journalists with rubber bullets, protesters, tear gas, etc. And, you know, this really could escalate. And, you know, we're not seeing a lot done by Obama. I guess he's sending Holder down there, another puppet, to make it look like they're getting involved in this. But, Frank, if they don't get this taken care of, this could really spread, and this could be the riotings that they've been talking about, that the riots could spread across the nation.
Yeah, we don't want to have a situation where it's 1992 Los Angeles on your hands there. We need to just go ahead and do the right thing. The evidence speaks for itself about how this particular officer used excessive force and use of deadly force, and it didn't even need to call for that. You know, you didn't have to do all that. I mean, there's no reason why you should shoot a person six times. And I don't understand the logic in that. There's nothing that anybody can tell me to justify that. It's just cold-blooded murder. And I don't care if the guy is black, white, whatever. It doesn't matter. The way law enforcement works, and I've seen it because I'm involved, is the us versus them attitude. If you're not part of the clique, if you're not part of a law enforcement unit or whatever, you're not in the fraternity. You kind of understand what I'm saying? So that's how they see it. This is what's going on right now in Ferguson. It's basically these people are protesting against the police. And if you look at the front line with the police out there, it's blacks, whites, whatever, all on the same side. And there's blacks and whites and a lot of different other races in the crowd that's protesting. But the point that I'm trying to make is it's a us police versus them civilian attitude. And that's how it is, and that's how it's going to be, and this is exactly why this shooting took place to begin with.
The Department of Homeland Security so the number one domestic threat is not Al-Qaeda. It's returning veterans, it's constitutionalists, it's libertarians, it's conservatives. Basically, anybody that's going to stand up for the Constitution is getting in their way.
Huh.
And that's the sad reality, is that they're building up the military, they're building up the police force to battle not Al-Qaeda, but to battle the U.S. people. Anybody that's going to get in their way is going to end up in a FEMA camp.
Ooh.
And I think people need to pay very close attention to what's going on in Ferguson. That's why I gave a lot of praise to MVP. Like I said, we've been critical of some of the things he said about fans and the way he's acted on Twitter. But it's clear if you follow MVP on Twitter, he understands there's a real new world order out there. He understands the Constitution is being shredded. And I got to give him a lot of props for standing up to the Constitution, because if we don't stand up for the Constitution, Frank, we're not going to have one.
Exactly. And I hope it doesn't come out, you know, all out civil war.
You sure get the feeling that's what they're preparing for.
Yeah,
is a civil war.
Yep.
I'm really glad to see people standing up for their rights, for the Constitution. Hopefully, more people will join MVP down there. That's what we need. We need people standing up for our rights, because if we don't stand up for our rights, we're not going to have any.
Exactly. If you don't stand up for your rights, who's going to stand up for your rights for you? Nobody.
Exactly. Props to MVP, and I would definitely encourage people to pay attention to what's going on in Ferguson. I think a lot of times people say, well, Ferguson, I never heard of it. It's in, you know, Missouri's in the middle of the country. You're in California. I'm in the Midwest. People are listening in Florida, Texas. They don't really care what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. But this could escalate. This has been going on for, what, a week now?
This has been going on. It's been on for a week there, but it's been going on in Los Angeles since the 50s. Nothing new. It's really nothing new. If you live down in Compton or, you know, East LA, South Central, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, this has been going on for years. This is the ones you never hear about.
And to keep in the same frame of injustices, not to the same degree, obviously. I mean, the guy lost his life. He was shot in cold blood. It definitely appears that way. All the evidence points in that direction. But what's been going on lately with, as you would say, the whip, and something we talked about in the last podcast with Alberto Del Rio. Since our last podcast, Del Rio showed up at the pay-per-view, the Triple Mania pay-per-view in Mexico. We also saw Rey Mysterio appear by video at the end of the pay-per-view. He basically said he'll be there at some point. And, Frank, we were just talking about this before we did the show here. WWE's employment policy is mind-boggling, that they can get away with, to a certain degree, you're basically a slave to the WWE. They own your likenesses, they own your name, you can't make personal appearances unless you get their permission. You're at the mercy of their schedule whenever they want to send, wherever they want to send you, yet you're still deemed an independent contractor. Well, you know, if you're an independent contractor, you make a deal with somebody, I'm going to work for you so many dates, I'm going to work for the next guy, and then the next guy, and the next guy. I don't know how they get away with some of the independent contractor terms that is signed. We're seeing that Rey Mysterio, essentially, his contract expired, but since he was injured, they tacked on the length of his injury to the contract, which prevented him to go to AAA right now and to go to work at this last show for Triple Mania. Frank, if the guy doesn't want to work for your company anymore, let him go. And now they're getting very conscious of how this is going to be viewed by the Mexican community, the Latino community. They're upset with how the Alberto Del Rio situation played out. But to me, Frank, they have to look in the mirror, because to me they look really bad. I mean, now we're learning that Alberto Del Rio cannot work in the United States for 1 year. He can't work in Mexico for 90 days, which, you know, in the case of Del Rio, probably doesn't matter a whole lot with the United States, being that he is a Mexican star and is going to work for AAA, but he can't work any independent shows in the United States. And you have to wonder, with the contracts that you sign with working for the Whip, I mean, you're basically signing your life over to the company right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you are signing away your soul, pretty much, to WWE, to fulfill the dream. Is that dream really worth it in the long run? Probably not. You know, your body gets right out of the pain. And, you know, a lot of it, too, and I strongly believe the reason why they don't, they put this independent contractor status is because it's obvious they don't want to pay, they don't want to give these wrestlers benefits.
Right.
So That's why they deem them independent contractors, but yet they don't follow independent contractor rules. And that is basically working a set number of days, as you stated, and moving on to the other territory. WWE doesn't allow you to do that, though. They want to control everything you do. You come up with a new move, okay, they're going to copyright, trademark the name. That's what they do.
They're the NSA.
Yeah.
They know everything about you. They track you wherever you go. Like I said, if I wanted to book, if I had just a local event here and I wanted to book Damian Sandow to make an appearance and sign some autographs, I'd have to get the Whip's permission.
Right.
Even though he's an independent contractor, which would mean if he's not working for WWE, he's not booked for a house show, I should be able to book the guy for my event. Well, I can't do that. And they have to get their permission wherever they go. Any contract signing, they have to get the Whip's permission to make an appearance, which is not an independent contractor. And I know people will say, my last little rant there is, how are they slaves? John Cena's making millions, and Randy Orton's making millions, and this guy is a movie star. Well, yeah, the top guys are going to make their money. But the problem is, for the little guys out there, the undercard talent, a lot of them are not making a lot of money. A lot of them are only being paid if they work, if they're actually booked for shows. Like the Usos, they don't get any money for SummerSlam. They weren't booked for the show.
Right.
Even though they've been busting their butt the last two pay-per-views to put on great matches, they don't even get paid for a SummerSlam paycheck. So yeah, the top guys are getting paid, but the problem is the undercard guys are essentially enslaved to the company. They have to get WWE's permission for everything, including their names, as I said, likeness, moves, etc. They can't work for anybody else. They can't do independent shows. They can't work for AAA. They can't go to Puerto Rico. They can't get booked in the UK. They're totally at the mercy of WWE, and I don't know how they get away with it, Frank. And we've talked about, you know, Raven brought up a case to challenge independent contractor status, and I guess the great Jerry McDivitt got that thrown out. But I don't know how legally they have a leg to stand on with some of these legal issues relating to contracts.
I don't either. And it's going to take somebody to actually take them to court. This Del Rio situation was a perfect ammunition to use. And I'm very curious to see if Del Rio is actually going to take maybe a civil lawsuit against WWE for racial discrimination. That's pretty much what it is.
You know, what it may be is he might say, well, it might take me a year for my court case to be heard, and by then my year ban will be up. But it will take somebody on principle to stand up to say, okay, I don't need to work for the whip anymore. I'm done with this. As Raven probably figured, he was, you know, not going to work for WWE anymore. I'll bring this lawsuit up. Although, I mean, they basically made up with Sable after she filed what, $100 million lawsuit against the company. But it's going to take somebody to say, hey, this is ridiculous. I am not an independent contractor. I'm an employee of the company. Yep. If I can't work outside of the company, I'm not an independent contractor. I'm an employee. I should be entitled to benefits, or I should be able to, when I'm not working for your company, work elsewhere or to work for TNA, New Japan, etc. But you're at the mercy of whatever your terms are. And these, we're learning more about these terms. I mean, Frank, if you're injured and your contract expires, they just tack on how long you've been injured.
Right. Well, I would think that's against the law.
That seems very unfair to me. I mean, I'm no lawyer. I don't pretend
right.
to be one. But if I have a date that says my contract expires on May 9th or whatever the situation was, well, then after May 9th, I'm not under contract to that company anymore. And yet they say, well, he's been injured. We got to tack on more dates. Well, why would you even want an employee like that, Frank, that doesn't want to be in the company anymore, who wants to work for AAA, wants to go back and be with friends, you know, he's friends with Conan down there. Why would you even want that guy in the company anymore that doesn't want to be a part of the company? And how do you justify tacking on months to a contract when the contract expired? I don't get it.
You know, I don't get it either. And like I said, if, you know, Mysterio was a smart man, which I'm pretty sure you know he is. Yeah, I would say, how are you guys gonna, you know, extend my contract when you already know I want to leave? I want to go do other things. You know, it's like you're holding the guy hostage.
You know, one of the things I heard was WWE was concerned with Triple Mania. Triple Mania did air in the United States. You could get a stream of the pay-per-view, and there was thought that within the Latino community, some may opt to watch Triple Mania over SummerSlam. That's why they tried to prevent Del Rio from being on the part of the show. They prevented Rey Mysterio from being part of the show. And yet, you know, at the end of the day, they were there. Del Rio didn't wrestle because he can't legally wrestle, I guess, for 90 days now because of the release, which, boy, Frank, it can't work for 90 days when you're released by the company. Okay.
Right. Relief.
I mean, it'd be like you being fired from your job and you can't work anywhere for 3 months.
Right.
He's not there. He can't work the show. Mysterio, they don't want him on the show because that might if they're booking Rey Mysterio for AAA, you know, the Latino community may say, oh, I want to watch SummerSlam. But I don't know. These practices have to be questioned. And I don't know. Maybe Del Rio and Mysterio can get together and file a class action lawsuit. I just think if you challenge some of these terms, I mean, you don't see some of these other companies doing what WWE is doing.
No, you don't.
You can't see IBM make a contract like that, where you're essentially working for the company, although you don't get any benefits. You're an independent contractor. So I'd like to see somebody challenge this in court. And I know, you know, Jerry McDivitt is a high-profile attorney, and I think a lot of people say, well, the time it gets to jury or time it gets to the court, it's going to be too late. And Jerry McDivitt's a great attorney. But somebody's got to stand up to the whip, in my opinion.
Somebody does. And it's going to take somebody with some major cojones to do it.
Yep. So that's what's going on with Del Rio, and I know you put up a little hashtag on your Twitter there, Free Ray.
Yep.
Let him go. If he doesn't want to be a part of your company, just let him go.
Exactly.
So I don't understand. If he doesn't want to work for that company, then why keep him? Well, Frank, since we did the last podcast, we were talking about Hulk Hogan's birthday. Hulk Hogan celebrated his birthday last week on Raw. They had a big birthday celebration. They brought out his old buddies, Hall and Nash. And what did you think of the NWO returning to WWE?
Pretty much, man. The birthday celebration, to me, turned out to be a big success. I mean, with you know, having this wonderful Paul Orndorff come out there. And honestly, Steve, I did not even recognize Orndorff if he hadn't had that robot. I wouldn't even know who the hell he was. He had the huge Zeb Coulter Dutch Mantel mustache one on. Nobody knew who he was. The fans just, they don't know Mr. Wonderful, and that's a shame. Because in his day, he was a hell of a worker.
Yep.
So they didn't know who he was. They brought out Ric Flair. Everybody knows who Nate is.
Wait a minute. They don't know who Paul Orndorff is, but it's $9.99, the network?
The network's $9.99, but you know what? I mean, you know, a lot of Paul Orndorff's matches, Steve, were on Saturday Night's Main Event.
Well, that's on there now.
Yeah, but up until recently, you know, it hadn't been.
That's true. You know? That is true.
So, I mean, they had a lot of Orndorff's matches in WCW when he was part of Pretty Wonderful, the tag team, but, you know.
Yep.
So, they brought out Nate, then they brought out, you know, it was in this order. It was they brought out Nate, then they brought out Orndorff, and then they brought out Piper. Piper got a big pop. And then the porno music hits, and Hall and Nash come out there on the stage. The place goes crazy, man. I'm telling you right now, those people there were there to see NWO. You can tell by the signs in the crowd. I mean, you had NWO for Life signs. You had NWO signs. You had people with NWO T-shirts on. They were there to see Hall and Nash. So
if I had to sit through a 3-hour Raw live, I'd want to see Hall and Nash.
Yeah. and they definitely popped the place. They delivered the survey and sang happy birthday to Hogan. Hogan ripped out that red and yellow and revealed a NWO shirt on underneath it. And Brock Lesnar came out and punked him. And that was pretty much the end of the whole Hogan birthday segment. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a good segment. It was a high, you know. It's probably the segment really that saved that show, in my opinion. Because I fast forward to the damn thing. I wanted to see the end. I just honestly wanted to see the NWO reunion on Raw, and that's pretty much why everybody watched the show, to see the reunion.
And for a change, Scott Hall didn't tell somebody to blow him.
Exactly.
And we still don't know if he signed the card, but at least he didn't tell people to blow him.
Yeah, well, you know, Hogan has, from what I understand from Dana Warrior, he didn't send her a card. He didn't send any condolences to her.
Yeah, the story broke that Dana Warrior wants Hulk Hogan to be quiet now about her late husband, the Ultimate Warrior, that he didn't even have the decency to send a condolence card, call, check on the family, as a lot of the WWE superstars did, and the company, of course, helped take care of the family. But she wants Hulk Hogan to stay quiet. And, you know, you were bringing up to me something I kind of forgot about was that Ultimate Warrior special where Hulk Hogan and Warrior are for the final time talking that Warrior's like, wish I could trust you on everything. And it was clear that even though they shook hands, and at least for the night they made up, the Warrior still didn't trust Hulk Hogan. And isn't it sad to me, Frank, that a big star like Hulk Hogan wants to go around saying how everything was cool with the Warrior now, they patched everything up, and yet he doesn't have the decency to at least call the family and say, you know, I feel bad about, you know, your husband passing. I feel bad to the kids that they lost their father, their young kids, young girls, that the Hulk Hogan, who's so busy, Can't take 5 minutes out of his schedule to send a text. Can't make a phone call. Can't get one of his cronies to send out a condolence card. And yet he goes around parading that, you know, that he made up with the Ultimate Warrior and everything was cool. To me, that's just really sad.
Yeah, and Hogan, you know, put a picture on Twitter. It was Hogan, Warrior, and I believe might have been Pat Patterson. And Hogan put on there, Pat Patterson took this picture, was he was so happy that me and Warrior, you know, were friends. And you weren't friends.
No.
Warrior said that he'd like to trust you, is what he said. But he never said he was your friend. And, you know, what Dana Warrior said basically was like, you know, they didn't have a camera, you know, in their mailbox, and they didn't have a camera in their house. So that's the reason why Hogan hadn't called them or anything like that. And that's a complete shoot on Hogan on the Warrior special where the camera came up and started talking to and started recording these two guys while they were back there having that conversation. So it's like, you know, the way it looks like to me is that, okay, Hogan, you know, Hogan was there. Hogan knew they were filming this Warrior special, and Hogan's, you know, comes by because it's not about him, and you go from there.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if the cameras weren't rolling, would if Hulk even approach the Warrior?
Right.
But since they're filming this, yeah, let's make up. Let's look like we're cool. And I think the widow there sees through it. I think the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, you listen to what he said. I wish I could trust you.
Yep.
Which says I don't trust you. I know who you are.
Yep.
And you put on this persona that you're the Hulkster brother, and the Hulkamaniacs are going nuts, and everybody's popping for your porno music again. But at the end of the day, I don't trust you. And he didn't even have the dignity to pick up the phone call and to send his condolences to the family.
Yep.
That's just mind-boggling to me. And yet you'll see Hulk Hogan do all these interviews talking. I guess if you think about it, all the things that Hulk Hogan has really said and embellished, maybe we shouldn't be surprised at all.
I'm not at all. I mean, he did the same thing with Savage.
Yep. You know, this is the time where you kind of see the guy's true colors.
Yep.
And they're not good colors to see. And I'm not talking about yellow and red. I'm not talking about black and white. That's just... You know, when I read that, Frank, I honestly could not believe it. But as you said, this is the guy who has done this so many times. As I said, every time he does an interview, Andre the Giant weighs more and more and can't remember the Silverdome from the Superdome and doesn't even have the courtesy to pick up the phone to call the Warrior.
Yep.
I should say the Warrior's widow there and the family. And to, you know, say how sorry you are the kids lost their dad or how sorry you are the wife lost her husband. That's just pitiful.
Well, you know, here's the same guy.
Brother.
Here's the same guy that said that the passenger that was riding in his son's car, when his son totaled that car, he got what he deserved. I don't know who he pissed off, but, you know, he said something to that effect. You know, he got exactly what he deserved, and karma's karma's a bitch. And he got exactly what he deserved. So that's what I'm saying. It doesn't surprise me that Hulk would not do it. Hulk is a habitual liar.
So in a way, I mean, that NWO celebration, we're putting over Hulk Hogan, we're putting over Scott Hall, and, you know, when you put them under the microscope, they're not really good characters.
You know, it was very – I'm going to say this about this NWO celebration. And it goes like this. It was very good to see Kevin Nash. It's always good to see Nash. Because I could give a damn about seeing Scott Hall or Hulk Hogan, to be honest with you.
And so that's the bottom line. It was all about Kevin Nash.
It was all about Kevin. It was all about Kevin Nash. That's just how I feel about it. It's all about Nash. Nash is a guy that you never hear nothing bad about. Every time something goes down and it involves one of the wrestlers, Nash is always there to support. And people can say whatever they want to about Kevin Nash, and he was this and he was that, whatever. Kevin Nash, you know, Kevin Nash has always been a cool dude. You never hear nothing negative about Nash.
And I will say, you know, I've always heard that when people book Kevin Nash, he shows up on time. He's courteous. He signs autographs.
Yep.
I don't agree with him politically, of course. Everybody knows he's a big liberal, but at the end of the day, you know, he treats people right versus what his other two partners in NWO represent.
Right.
I mean, we tell it like it is on this podcast.
Yep.
And that's just, I mean, it was all about Hulk Hogan celebration. And I tell you, Frank, as I said, after 3 hours of Raw, I'd probably pop for the NWO music.
Right.
I tell you what. Sitting through, and it was probably smart that they saved that to the end of the show. Although, I guess what, the go-home segment for SummerSlam was the Hulk Hogan celebration.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
and a lot of people were kind of wondering how they were going to pull that off, if they were going to be able to do that. And would it just be about Hogan's birthday? And it was cool that they brought Brock Lesnar out there and incorporated Brock Lesnar and Cena into that. So that was a good thing. It was a good move.
I guess they went that direction because they were going to destroy Super Cena at SummerSlam, so why not?
Yeah. That's exactly what they did.
Well, let's get into some situations with the Dead Brand, or some topics to go along with what's currently going on with TNA, a.k.a. the Dead Brand. We did learn that TNA is going to be moving nights. Impact Wrestling is actually going to be moving to Wednesday night, as of tomorrow night, as we do this podcast on the 19th. Impact is moving to Wednesday. Now, we speculated on the last podcast that with all the rumblings that SmackDown was going to move nights to Thursday nights, we have return of the NFL here in a few weeks, that there's going to be Thursday night football again, that Spike would probably opt to move Impact anyway, so they move them to Wednesday night instead of Friday nights. But to me, Frank, it really doesn't make no difference. It's on Wednesday night or Thursday night. It's not going to change anything. I mean, here we are at the end of August. Towards the end of August, there's still no update in terms of the contract. And quite frankly, until something changes dramatically in terms of Spike making an announcement that Impact is going to be back for another season, I'm under the impression they're done. So until something changes, until they make an official announcement, I think Spike ends the relationship with Impact airing on Wednesday nights, and then in October, something else is going to debut on Spike.
You know, the thing that, you know, we actually were talking about the other night on the podcast is the possibility that Spike, you know, could outright buy TNA, just like they bought Bellator. And, you know, we were talking about if Spike TV were to buy, you know, TNA, it would change the whole landscape of the business, because that's a huge corporation buying a wrestling company, Viacom. It would be such a positive for the business if that were to happen. And I believe ultimately that's probably what's going to happen, is we're probably seeing the last days of TNA wrestling under the Carter family, and that TNA could be purchased by Viacom Spike TV and run as a brand that way.
I don't see it. I don't, why would Spike want Impact Wrestling?
Spike, listen, here's the thing. Whether you like it or not, they still get those million viewers every week.
But they can't turn around the advertising revenue for the million viewers.
That's true, but I think
that's the problem. That's the problem they run into. They get a million viewers, but they don't. If they could get a million viewers for Cops, they make more money with Cops.
Yeah, but I don't think they're.
So why keep the dead brand?
I don't think they're pulling a million viewers for Cops.
I'm just saying, if Cops would pull off a million viewers, they would get more avenue, and they probably make more advertising revenue with Cops getting half the audience than Spike TV with 1 million viewers.
Yeah, but I could see it happening. I honestly could. Spike is just I just really honestly think they don't want to be in bed anymore with Dick Carter. I mean, they feel like they've been lied to. I mean, honestly, they have something there. They have I would say that they have a good group of talent there. And maybe some ways they do, but there's no depth anymore to the roster. And it's like, I mean, outside of the video library, if Spike were to buy it, I mean, what else do they have right now?
I don't know what they gain by buying TNA. I mean, it's got all the debt.
Arkansas.
We know it's lost 45 million in the last 3 years, of course, according to one report I saw, which could be inaccurate, but we know the company's losing money. It's bleeding money. Why buy the company now?
Yeah.
I mean, you've sunk so much money into this company. It's not grown. You put it on different nights. The audience hasn't grown. I don't know. I just think you move on.
Why? But you could buy the company like WWE bought WCW and not incur any of WCW's debt.
That's a possibility.
You know, WWE did that.
But let's say you wipe away the debt. Is TNA going to make any money anytime soon?
TNA would have to be reset, revamped. I mean, that's the bottom line. They would have to be reset, revamped. It's going to take time. But I would rather have TNA in business than have TNA go out of business. Because if TNA goes out of business, it'll be a bad situation. And we can go on the podcast right now and say that the number two wrestling promotion in the world is not TNA Wrestling. It's not Ring of Honor. It is New Japan.
Right.
Okay.
In fact, yeah, somebody brought that up on the website.
Right. They're totally right. Because New Japan right now is twicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, so while sometimes we say TNA is, you know, number two by default, not really.
No.
No. People do not, when there's a choice, people do not want to work for TNA.
Right.
They want to work somewhere else. In fact, we're hearing rumblings that some of the talent in WWE, if they weren't under contract to WWE, they would go to New Japan right now.
Yeah. It's money to be made.
So, yep. As far as, you know, moving nights, Frank, I don't think it makes much of a difference. I can already see, you know, if they get a 0.8 this Wednesday night, they'll say, well, you know, we're on a different night and not everybody knows about it. But I don't really think it makes much difference. Thursday night, Wednesday night, what difference does it make what night they show it, really?
Yeah, I kind of agree.
It's a dead brand.
Yep.
And, you know, you were talking about the roster, and now we've heard that my man or your man, Bully Ray, Bubba Ray, Blubber Ray, as you said at one time, one shoot interview. In fact, we talked about, I think the last podcast, we were talking about his very exciting conference call to build up the night that Dixie Carter went through the table.
Yep.
Hey, Bully, thanks for being with us today. Yep. Thanks for answering my question today, Bully. Yup. Well, it looks like Bully Ray is on the verge of leaving TNA, according to the reports that his contract will be expiring soon. He was saying somewhat goodbyes at a recent house show. And isn't it interesting that Bully Ray would leave now when, what, in a couple months, him and his tag team partner, D-Von, are going into the TNA Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's a very shocking situation that we have not heard anything else about Bound for Glory coming to Japan. Bully Ray supposedly is done. It's just a lot of weird stuff going on right now in TNA, man. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the Trevor Park where TNA has its offices, because I'd like to hear what they have going on in there.
Yeah, it's a bad situation right now. And like I said, I'm going under the impression that they're done with Spike. I know the source that broke the news was TMZ, which is not always credible, especially when it comes to sports entertainment. But I don't know. Like I said, it was late in July. It was late in June, and we hadn't heard anything. Now it's late in August, and they can say they're still negotiating, but what are they negotiating? Like I said, if they would stay with the network, they would make less money. They'd have to pay their talent agency to get them a new deal. Now they've lost Bully Ray, it appears. It's just going south. The situation with Vince Russo was a huge debacle. And, you know, it's been like this for a long time, Frank. It starts with the top up with Dixie Carter, inability to run a company and driving the company into the ground. And that's why I'd find it really hard to believe that Spike would want the company. You said that it would be a game changer, you know, Viacom owning TNA, but, you know, over the years, Frank, they've already invested a lot of millions, and obviously the Carter family has spent millions of dollars on the company. It hasn't really meant anything.
Yeah,
so.
But investing and owning is different things. Owning it means that, okay, Nick Carter, you're off TV for good. There is no coming back. You know, we're done with you. We're going to actually bring some people in who actually know how to run the business. That's what they would do.
True. But I think it's just too late for the company.
Yeah, you might be right, and I'm going to hold on to a little bit of optimism that somebody will come in and do something with this brand, and that they will salvage it somehow.
I mean, really, if Spike wanted to get into the wrestling business, I would start a new company then. Start fresh. You know, let Impact expire and go away for a year and maybe come back with a fresh product. Because, as you said, the TNA brand is dead. It means nothing. Nobody cares about TNA. They draw 300 people to a house show. Nobody orders the pay-per-views. Nobody buys their merchandise.
Yep.
You know, disappear for a year, come back with something fresh.
Yep.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know? Start a brand new company, as you said. Get somebody in charge that understands wrestling and knows what people want in wrestling. And I don't think there's any salvaging TNA. I remember Atlee Green talking about it on one of his podcasts. It's probably just better that you put TNA out of its misery and you move on and hope somebody else can start up. You know, rather than spend the money, the millions of dollars on TNA, is put your money in a new company. And I'm not talking about Jeff Jarrett necessarily, but that's what you need, is a new company to come along with some fresh ideas, some fresh storylines, some new talent, and hopefully, you know, click with fans. Because obviously TNA is not clicking in the least.
No.
So.
And this is the worst I've seen the promotion. And
oh, yeah.
This is just awful.
It is awful. And now we've learned that Davey Richards broke his leg at a house show in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Boy, you know, when it rains, it really pours in TNA.
Yep, it sure does. And that's a shame, because at one point they had so much potential to actually grow into being at number two, and they never did. They'll be the company that didn't quite get to the heights of ECW.
Yep. Let's get into our mailbag here, Frank. We got our usual email from Ravon Adamson. We heard from his cousin as well. I guess he's spreading the word, and we always encourage you to spread the word about this podcast. If you enjoy the Gerwick Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is, you know, tweet it out on Twitter and put a message on your Facebook page and tell a friend, phone a friend. Unlike Hulk Hogan, you know, maybe pick up the phone, text somebody, let them know about what we do here at the Gerwick Report. Always appreciate that. And Ravon says he's got his usual shout-outs, and he says, I got two questions as usual. And number one is, if Undertaker had not been injured in the year 2000, who do you think Taker would have faced at WrestleMania 2000? I don't know, Frank, we're just kind of throwing out names. You know, Triple H was certainly hot at that time. I think you said, maybe the Big Show could have been a possibility
I think it would have been a Big Show, yes.
Okay. So those are kind of a couple names that came to mind as we threw that one out. And then he says, had Ken Shamrock not left the WWF in 1999, do you think he would eventually went on to win the WWE Championship? And I just never felt they really got behind Ken Shamrock, and I think that's part of the reason that he left. So, no, I never felt that Ken Shamrock would ever get the WWE Championship.
Absolutely not. I mean, he was a good IC champion, but no. He just didn't have that it that made you the WWE champion. He just didn't have it.
Well, I think they would have really sold that he was a legit fighter, kind of like they do with Brock. I think he could have meant more, and I really think the reason he left was I don't think he ever felt the company was truly behind him at that time.
Well, I mean, he got to understand something. I mean, you're making pretty good money over there. Doesn't matter if they get behind you or not. It's a work sport.
Right. And, of course, his legacy is MMA.
Exactly.
So, UFC Hall of Famer, and, of course, the first, TNA World Champion, right?
That's right.
Well, actually, he was NWA Champion. And then same thing. He was the first recognized TNA Champion at that time. They were just using the NWA belts at that time. So we appreciate the questions there, Ravon. And then we've heard from Ravon's cousin. I hope I say this right. Dakari Adamson chimed in and said that his cousin Ravon got him hooked on the podcast.
Cool.
And then he appreciates what we do.
Cool.
And he wants to give a big thumbs up to Frank D for telling it like it is. He says that some of these young minorities could learn a lot from the podcast when it comes to real-life situations. So he's touting you there, Frank.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate that, man. It all goes back to having life experiences. And I've had a lot of life experiences over my 30 years, and you know what? That I like to come over here and I like to keep it real. And I like to keep it real at all times. And tell it like it is. That's what we do. We're the podcast that tells it like it is. We don't charge you $9.99, and we're not going to charge you a subscription fee for premium this and premium that. None of that BS. We keep it 1,000 at all times here.
I was going to ask you, how much is that network again?
That network is $9.99, Steve.
$9.99, okay. Sometimes I forget that.
Right, I forget it all the time, too.
Yeah. His question is there legit heat between Ahmed Johnson and Ron Simmons? He says, the reason I ask is because I saw a shoot interview that Ron Simmons did, and he said that Ahmed Johnson was very stiff, and he got away with injuring superstars. So, Frank, was there legit heat between Ahmed and Ron Simmons?
I can tell you right now, I remember hearing Ahmed Johnson say in a shoot interview that he had heat with Ron Simmons in the beginning. Ron Simmons came out, if you remember back in the day, he came out kind of dressed like a gladiator. He was Farouk Assad. And he was, I think, managed by Sonny or something like that. Well, Sonny had Farouk attack Ahmed Johnson on an episode of Monday Night Raw, and this was Farouk's debut. And he really stiff-kicked Ahmed in the kidneys, messed him up, took him out of action. And later on, Ahmed Johnson asked him, he says, why did you do that? And he says, because, you know, I saw you as a threat to my spot. If anybody is going to be the first black WWE champion, it's going to be me. That's how they felt. So, yeah, both of them were stiff with each other. You want to be white, you want to put it like that.
As we kind of wrap up here, Frank, I wanted to throw in about the WWE Network. We did one podcast where we were talking that the new pricing idea was $19.99 for 1 month, no commitment, as obviously at the end of this month and early September, people's initial six-month commitment will be coming up. They actually changed that $19.99 to $12.99.
Huh.
So you can get a one-month commitment, no strings attached, a one-month of service for $12.99. I guess maybe, you know, we were kind of touting that as a pretty good idea. Maybe they got a lot of backlash that who's going to pay $20 a month for the WWE Network for 1 month?
I for sure would. So I mean, I'm not even going to spend $5 for a coat. So I'm damn sure not going to spend $19.99 for a network. Especially with the lack of content and every damn thing else they have on here that they have problems with. But that's just me.
Yeah, I know you were tweeting at, Real Frank DEE about the network debuting in Canada. And what is it, $11.99 there? And you get the live feed of the network. You don't get the on-demand content. You just get with the live stream. And you know, I was kind of surprised that there was going to be issues already with Rogers in Canada with the live stream. I didn't really hear a lot of information or feedback from Canadian fans as far as the pay-per-view. Did it stream okay on the cable service? But now it's, what, $11.99 or $11.95, I should say. Or no, it's $11.99, right, in Canada?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, to be correct. But the problem I think a lot of people are going to have in Canada is Rogers Cable is not available in 100% of Canada.
Right.
It's only about available like in 20% of the nation right now. So they have to spread that out. And as you were saying, it's kind of a ripoff to get $11.99 a month when all you get is a live stream.
Yeah, it is for the Canadian fans. They're the guinea pig in this situation. They're the guinea pig to see if this thing will actually work on a cable system.
10-year contract.
Exactly. And WWE has got 10 years to make sure it works.
What's happening with some of the other foreign markets then? Are they getting access to the network through their devices as well?
You know what? I don't know how that works, honestly. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they're signing like cable deals with other foreign markets so that you can watch the network on a foreign cable network. But we're going to find out, you know, 170 countries now the WWE Network airs in. We'll see if it's working. You know, again, Frank, here was SummerSlam, $9.99 a month. But there was a lot of people having streaming issues once again with that stream.
$9.99 a month? and you got hiccups. And I tell you, see, last night the WWE Network was down for a time. Yeah, a lot of the videos weren't loading. The live stream wasn't working. Yeah, $9.99.
Better than Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. You'll never hear me face my lips to say that.
Yeah, better than Netflix and $9.99 to get an inferior product right now. That's what it is. Until they get everything kinked out, it's an inferior product right now to me.
Yep.
And as you said, they have not updated a lot of the vaults. A lot of the old school stuff is still not there. So I think we're going to be interested in some of these future numbers with the network.
Yeah.
Is there going to be growth, or people are going to be jumping off the ship here in September?
Oh, I think there's going to be growth. I mean, especially internationally, yes.
Yeah, right. That's true. International markets will definitely expand their viewership, but it'll be interesting what they do domestically because, you know, we're the people that's had this service now for almost 6 months. Will people stay with the service in September? Are people ready to jump off the ship?
I would say that you have a situation where the initial subscribers are probably going to jump off the ship like Frank D. But then you're going to have a bunch of new people that are probably going to want to sign up because they're going to want to see United Champions.
And Survivor Series in November. So.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. Well, that's our thoughts on what's currently going on in professional wrestling and what's going on in the Ferguson, Missouri situation. Definitely encourage fans to and listeners out there to pay attention to what's going on in Ferguson. It's a very serious situation. I know the media downplays it a lot, Frank, and if nothing else, don't get your news from CNN and Fox News anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
Look for alternative news sources out there. There's a lot of them out there that are covering what's really going on in Ferguson. And, you know, obviously I would definitely encourage listeners to follow MVP on his Twitter feed if you want to find out what's really going on in Ferguson right now. As I said, we've been critical of MVP, but give the guy his due. He's actually there. He's on the ground, and he knows what's really going on right now. So
exactly. Got to give the guy his props.
Yep. As always, we definitely encourage fans and listeners to email us. We're at GerwickReport@Gerwick.net. You can listen to our previous podcast on Stitcher, on Spreaker. You can download us on TuneIn, and the app that I use a lot is you can download us on iTunes, and you can listen to us streaming on TuneIn. I listen to TuneIn for a lot of different other radio stations, internet only feeds of audio you can check out. So definitely, if you get a chance to download those apps and listen to us there as well. I'm at Gerwick on Twitter. We're at the Gerwick Report on Twitter. And definitely encourage you to follow Frank D as well, @RealFrankDEE.
That's Twitter.
And Frank's always got something to say out there.
You know, man, I always have something to say, and I always have tweets that I like to take the people and put them directly in my tweets. So I'll tweet Scott Hall about, you know, him telling you to blow him, which I thought was pretty, you know, foomsy foosa. And
pretty tacky.
Pretty tacky. Pretty unprofessional.
Yep.
So, but you can follow Frank D, RealFrankDEE at Twitter. And I've always had some interesting things to say, especially when some stuff really pops off. When something really pops off, you're definitely going to hear about it from me. That's pretty much it, man.
Yeah, definitely interact with us on Facebook. Steve Gerwick on Facebook, Gerwick.net, and of course Twitter as well. We'll get them involved in the conversation.
Exactly.
If they want to be a part of the conversation, the Wrestling Jackal is there. He's always got a lot of things to say as well. You got Andrew Davis into the conversation. We got Frank Ricciani.
Yep.
From the Sports Courier in the conversation. You have Atlee Green from the Body Slam podcast part of the conversation.
Exactly.
So
one big click.
So it's kind of like a continuation of our podcast on the Twitter right now.
Exactly, exactly. And just spread the word. You know, spread the word about the podcast so people know what we're doing. And, you know, like I said, we're not going to come out here and charge you a subscription fee to listen to us talk, which is the dumbest thing I ever heard. You know, it really is. I mean, I see that with so many of the other podcasts. They want you to donate money. They want you to do this. They want you to do that. And that's fine for them. That might work for them. but it doesn't work for us, and that's not what we're about here. We do it because we love it, and we do it because at the end of the day, we're fans. So that's
right.
Just the bottom line, you know.
And despite everything we say, we want wrestling to do well.
Exactly. We want
the business to flourish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I hope that the outcome is Viacom or Spike buying TNA, because then I know that it's there to stay. I hope that is the case. I don't want to see TNA go out of business, because if TNA goes out of business, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to lose their jobs and they're going to have nowhere to perform. Dixie Carter did an ice, you know, a ALS ice bucket challenge. And you saw the woman's house. So she's not nothing to worry about.
No, not at all.
But the guys like Bobby Roode, Eric Young,
Rockstar Spud,
EC3, all these different
Raisin
guys.
Bram.
Yeah, Raisin Bram, Maggie Magnus. These guys here, Kenny King, these are the ones that have something to worry about.
Yep.
Because especially Kenny King. Kenny King, you know, completely, you know, blew off ROH. I mean, I don't know if ROH would be so forgiving to bring Kenny King back in the fold if TNA were to fold. So I don't know.
And I guess real quickly in closing here, I want to give a shout-out to Ring of Honor, because I did watch the episode, the ROH on Sinclair over the weekend. And actually, I was watching. The funny thing was, I was watching ROH Monday night. I was on the treadmill. And rather than watching Monday Night Raw, I'm watching ROH Wrestling. Go figure, huh? And this was the final show for Kevin Steen, Mr. Wrestling. And, you know, they gave him a send-off, Frank. He got a great introduction, went out there, got all the streamers. They were saying this was his final night. He got to choose his opponent, which was Steve Corino. And it was a great send-off. We know Kevin Steen is going to WWE. They touted that on social media. Triple H, of course, shook his hand for the picture there. He's going to developmental. But I just thought, what a classy move by Ring of Honor to honor a guy who's been there, who's busted his butt for that company, and on his final night to give him his proper send-off. And if fans can check that out, I'm sure it'll probably be on YouTube at some point, or you can go to ROHWrestling.com and support ROH by being a subscriber to their subscription service. But I just thought that was a great move by ROH, Frank, that they acknowledge a guy who's been with the company for a long time, who's had a lot of great matches with the company, and that the guy got his proper send-off. And I don't know what he'll mean for WWE, but certainly was a big star in ROH.
Yeah, it all goes back to respect.
Right.
And Kevin Steen, I'm the guy's a good worker in Ring of Honor. I'm just not sold yet on him in WWE, but maybe he'll change my mind. Maybe he'll do good down there. I'm just not completely sold yet, but I do like the fact that Ring of Honor showed the guy proper respect, and they did celebrate him, and not give him the shaft like Del Rio got the shaft. So.
Exactly. Yeah, you won't see a send-off like that in WWE or TNA right now.
No.
So it was good to see ROH acknowledge one of their own leaving, and certainly their alumni is so long the list. And then you got a guy like Christopher Daniels, who actually returns to the company.
Right.
Which is good to see. I mean, you got AJ Styles, you got Samoa Joe, alumni CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, so many greats. Seth Rollins came through ROH as Tyler Black. So it's good to see a company, you know, really put over its talent, even a talent they're leaving the company. And, you know, we'll see if Kevin Steen means anything to WWE. The jury's still out. We don't know. As you said, he doesn't really have the body type to fit the WWE mold, but, you know, maybe he'll be the exception to the rule, and maybe soon we'll be seeing him on NXT, and, you know, maybe he'll mean something. I guess only time will tell.
Only time will tell for him. Only time will tell for Prince Devitt We just have to wait and see, you know. And Kansas just got down there too. I mean, they definitely got the cream of the crop on the Indies. You know, another guy from NWA Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Willie Mack. He's going to be coming in there very shortly to NXT. So it's about to get hot down there right now in NXT. I have to give them that. And they got a lot of the big names down there, and they got Sami Zayn down there, El Generico. So it's going to be kind of cool to see if they actually hook him and Steen up, because they have some battles in the Ring of Honor.
Yep.
So.
And still no update on the Ascension, huh?
Nope. No update yet.
They're not.
And when they need at the point in time when we need tag teams on the main roster, and they're makeshift and Big Show and Mark Henry, why is the Ascension not brought up?
They're still not ascending to the main roster.
Nope. They're ascending just at NXT.
Right. Well, as always, definitely spread the word about the podcast. We always enjoy getting your feedback. If you have any questions you want us to address here on the podcast, we'd be glad to do it. If you want our 2 cents on anything or our feedback on anything you want us to take a look at as well, we're always open to that. As I said, follow us on social media, spread the word about the podcast. And as always, we definitely appreciate you listening to the Girlwork Report podcast, the podcast that tells it like it is.